sent messages to Rome saying that Augustus is dead and that for the time being, at least, the command of the Roman Empire devolves upon me.
Tiberius, are you trying to deny me any part in the governing of this empire?
Yes, Mother.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gays and straights, blacks, whites, yellows, reds, cisgenders, the other ones. I can't remember my terminology for what's cis. So cis is normal. So it's normal. That's, they're not going to like that. Cis. Oh fuck! Welcome.
And if you don't even know who you are yet.
Welcome, gender fluid people. We love you all.
Exactly.
Welcome to episode one of. We may not know what to call you, but we love you anyway.
That's right.
That's what I say to my children. I don't know what your names are,
hey, you.
But yeah. I'm pretty sure you're all right.
I make my kids wear jerseys because there's five of them. It's just easier to read the numbers.
Welcome to the first episode of The Life of Tiberius Caesar. Now, if you are brand new to the show, I'm sorry for that opening. We normally do a better job.
We're normally pretty smooth, semi-smooth.
Nah.
No, not really.
No, well, it's normally not that much. But look, it's been a few months since we've done a Caesar show. We're just warming up. We're getting back into the swing of it. For those of you that are brand new, let me give you a little bit of a potted history. Those of you that have been around with us for a few years, just you know what the deal is. You've been here.
Fuck off.
So we're recording. My name is Cameron Riley. I'm an Australian. My co-host is Ray Harris Jr. He is an American.
Right.
We're recording this on the 24th of August, 2018, and. So about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, Ray and I were on a little Facebook group for history podcasters. Ray was doing a World War II series, which he's still doing. I think the storyline has progressed several weeks since that fateful day 5 years ago in his World War II show.
Yeah.
I had done a Napoleon podcast with my friend J. David Markham some years before that.
Brilliant.
Anyway, we're on a Facebook group. Somebody said, who's a subject, like a historical subject or character you would like to do a series about that you haven't? And I said, I'd like to do Julius Caesar, actually, one day. I'm kind of interested in learning more about him. And Ray popped up and said, me too.
Yeah.
And I said, well, fuck it. Let's get on. Let's chat.
Yeah.
And we jumped on Skype. We chatted. We had a laugh. We got along like a house on fire. So we started a Julius Caesar series not long after that. That ran for a few years. I think we did 60-odd episodes, somewhere like 3 hours long. On Julius Caesar. Then, spoiler alert, Julius Caesar was stabbed to death by his best friends. We said to our audience, well, that's it. And they said, no, don't go. Do the next guy. So we then spent the last couple of years doing Augustus Caesar. We did 100 episodes, 100 hours of Augustus Caesar.
Yeah.
Then, spoiler alert, he died, didn't get stabbed to death.
Good for him.
Died peacefully, ruling a massive empire that he didn't call an empire, but nonetheless, probably an empire.
Yeah.
And at the end of that episode, we said, you know, when he died in his last will and testament, he said, look, I'm really sorry about this, Rome, but everyone else is dead. The only guy left is my
tight ass
stepson.
Right.
Who I will have adopted, actually, Tiberius.
Tight-ass Tiberius.
And that is that is where we're going to pick up this series. We're going to do a whole series about this Tiberius fellow.
Yeah. But.
And so it was.
Hold on. The very first time that we, and this is trivia for everyone else, I guess. If the very first time we spoke on Skype, you sang a song to me. You picked up your guitar, and you sang a song to me. Do you remember what that was?
Oh, my guitar's out of tune. Was it Blackbird? Because that's how I picked up my wife, as I sang her Blackbird on the guitar. Did I try the same tactic on you? It worked.
You have played that for me, but no, on this one, on this particular day, you played for me Jesse's Girl by Rick Springfield, and it's his birthday today, so I want to say to Rick, happy birthday, and for to you, thank you for serenading me with my favorite song.
Did I really do that?
Fuck yeah, you did that. You went like this. You mean like this, right? And you, I can hear you leaning over. I hear the guitar. Suddenly, down, out, down, 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 down. And you just went to town. And that's when I fell in love with you.
Jesse was a friend.
That's when I fell
in love. No, he's always been a good friend of mine.
That's when I fell in love with you.
Yeah. And so it was in the year 767.
Right.
Ab Urb Condita, or 14 AD if you're a Christian, or 14 CE if you're not.
You're rational.
Or if you were living in Rome at the time, you would have called it the year of the consulship of Sextus Pompeius and Sextus Apuleius, or Sexy P and Sexy A,
Sexy Squared,
they used to call them.
Right. Sex Squared.
That Caesar Augustus died.
Right.
What is going to happen to Rome now? After 50-something years of relative peace and a steady hand and deflowering of maidens, the princeps is gone.
Right.
And we could say, you know, to put it mildly, his succession planning has been beset with difficulties.
Yeah.
You know, no one has come close to those difficulties until the Trump administration. I think in terms of smooth sailing,
nice arc.
It was Trump administration level sailing for the succession planning for Augustus Caesar. Everyone that he was prepping for the job tended to die. And
if he tapped you for power, you die.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you're a young maiden and he tapped you, that was it. You'd been tapped. They had a little club, little T-shirt. I was tapped by the princeps. But what is he passing on? This is the question. This is where I want to start. What is he actually passing on? He's not an emperor by title,
right,
or by power. He's not a king. He's got a ton of wealth. And he's the princeps, which is the title he kind of liked the most, the princeps, but that just means first among equals in the Senate. He's the principal senator, basically. But in reality, he's a lot more than that. In reality, he is a king. He just isn't using that because that's not, you know, he's worried that they might get a bit stabby if he calls himself the king. So he's avoided that. To very, very meticulously over the last 45, 46 years of his life. He's got a ton of wealth. Mm-hmm. He's got Auctoritas and Imperium coming out his ass. But
he pees
traditionally.
Imperium. Right.
Doctor, my pee's red. What's that? She just got too much Imperium in your blood system, Augustus. Too much. That's why it's he had Imperium. Imperium.
Look, I pulled something.
And Auctoritas, Auctorit out the ass, and Imperium. Yeah, for those new listeners, this is pretty much what the show is like. Yeah. You've worked it out. Yeah, you've got
100
us.
100 hours of this.
Yeah, 10 minutes in, we've pretty much, this is as good as it gets. Yeah. So anyway, Auctoritas and Imperium.
Yes.
So for the new listeners, if you're not familiar with ancient Rome, in the Roman Republic in particular, Auctoritas means basically that you have a certain authority because of what you've accomplished in your past. You have a certain very high degree of credibility. You have a very high degree of weight goes behind your statements, your actions. Mm-hmm. Partly because of your name and who you are and your family, but mostly because of what you've accomplished, right, both politically and on the battlefield. Would you say that's a good explanation of Auctoritas? You want to add something to that?
Yeah, just the weight of your judgment or your opinion on something based on your past actions. It's basically your political clout, what you say or do or think should matter more than what other people. Based on your past experiences.
Exactly. Yeah. So, like, if you listen to this show long enough, you know that I have Auctoritas, right. Ray does not. What I say matters. What Ray says usually
you could ignore. I try to cancel them out. You know. Yeah, I would. Mm.
And yeah. Imperium is something that was typically, traditionally, granted to a person by his troops. Mm-hmm. And it's basically the power to command. Now, this started to change during Augustus's reign. He was vested with Imperium, mm-hmm, like 4,000 times until the point where he goes, "Look, my doctor says I can't handle too much anymore Imperium. Anymore. Yeah, please. Can't take it. Got too much." So yeah, it's the most powerful kind of power that you can have. Basically, if you have Imperium, you're basically you're not a dictator in a sense, but what you say is pretty much law. You can command people to die. You can command people to go to war. You can basically command people to do whatever you tell them to do, and it's your opinion on what people should do is basically considered law. Right? Right. You have to do it.
And if it helps, think of it in a more formal way. There were times in Roman history when the Senate would give a person Imperium, like, you have Imperium on the water, I have Imperium on the land. So if we're dealing with pirates, it depends on where the pirates are at in any particular moment as to who has the say-so of what's going on. So you could be given Imperium for a year. You could be given Imperium for a certain place, a certain boundary. But Cam's right, though. So there's the formal kind, and then there's just the you're so freaking awesome Imperium that and that's exactly what Augustus has. He has formal and informal and Auctoritas. He's just basically the rock star, and everybody is going to be saddened by the fact that he's gone.
But my point about Auctoritas and Imperium is traditionally they're not passed on to the next generation. Your children don't inherit that. They might get a little bit of the Auctoritas because your dad was very well connected and a lot of people owe him a lot of favors and a lot of money. He dies, you're his son. You get a little bit of that because of the connections, but you basically have to make your own Auctoritas. So it doesn't get passed on to the next generation. But then again, Augustus doesn't even have a next generation, really. Right. There's mm-hmm. no Jean-Luc Picard running around here. His only natural born child is A, a woman, and B, in exile for being a filthy whore. Not that we're judging.
No.
We have utmost respect. We're not slut-shaming Julia. We're slut...
If anything, envy.
Yeah. You know, yeah. We're Stormy Daniels-ing her. We're like, hey, props, hey, props to you, girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, get it done.
If I can just add, absolutely right. You're absolutely right, because every power that was given to Augustus that he had at the moment of death was given to him as a person, as a man. And the fact that he's now dead, they have all disappeared. So you're absolutely right. He is not technically passing anything on to Tiberius, because Tiberius has his own personal powers that we're going to get into that were given to him as a person, not because of he's the holder of some office.
So Augustus's only natural born child is in exile for being a dirty whore. That's his words, not ours.
Right.
His nephews are dead. His grandchildren are either dead or in exile. And so there are really only two options for who he is going to tap on the shoulder at the end of his life. One is his adopted son, stepson slash adopted son, Tiberius Julius Caesar, aka Big Tibbo, the Tibster, born Tiberius Claudius Nero, son of Livia Drusilla, Augustus's wife, and her first husband, also called Tiberius Claudius Nero, who was one of Julius Caesar's quaestors.
Right.
But he kind of, you know, picked the wrong side during one of the civil wars. During the Alexandrian War, Julius Caesar's Alexandrian War, Nero was the commander of a fleet, contributed in a large way to Julius Caesar's victory in Alexandria. For that, he was made pontiff, the head of the Roman religion, the chief priest of the Roman religion. Yet after Caesar's murder, when all the others voted for an amnesty through fear of mob violence, he favoured a proposal for rewarding the guys that killed Julius Caesar, Brutus, Cassius, and the others. And so he ended up on the wrong side of the civil war with the young Octavian and Mark Antony and Lepidus, but then he kind of got forgiven later on. And Augustus said, you know what, I'm going to forgive you so much. I want you to divorce your wife and let me marry her because she is hot, smoking hot. That's how much I forgive you. His other option at the end of his life is his exiled grandson, Agrippa Postumus, a.k.a. Aggie Pete, the child of Augustus's daughter, Julia, a.k.a. the filthy whore, and her first husband, Marcus Agrippa, a.k.a. Mr. Get Shit Done, Augustus's best friend and his right-hand man for decades. Unfortunately, long dead at this stage.
Yeah.
But I have to tell you, Ray, on our recent trip to Rome, two of my favorite things was, one, getting my photo taken next to a bust of Agrippa in two locations. It was one at the Areopagus, I think, and there was one before that in Florence at the Uffizi Gallery. Got a photo taken with the bust of Agrippa. I was like, man, Agrippa's the man. And the second was when we went to the Pantheon in Rome, even though I know that the version that's there now wasn't actually built by Agrippa. He built the original version, and I don't know, still. Just it had the smell of Agrippa. It just smelled like
it did.
Manly sweat and hard work.
Honest, exactly. And can I say real quick, Tiberius's birthday is November 16th, so it's coming up. We should plan something big for his birthday. I don't know what, strippy or rap. We'll see.
Now, as you indicated before, jumping ahead in the story, as you tend to do, Tiberius had recently been granted the exact same powers as Augustus. So when Augustus dies, there's no real necessity for transmission of power. He gets, in the will, he gets most of Augustus's wealth, and there's a fuck ton of wealth to get.
Right.
There doesn't need to be power handed on because he's already got the power. I have the power! Whether or not he wants the power, it's a separate issue. We're going to get into that. So he has. He was granted, basically, he was the co-princeps with Augustus before Augustus died.
Yeah, as of 13 CE, Tiberius was raised to the equal of Augustus, so it's been a year. And so that's why, and this is what's so funny to me that we're going to go into, everyone else except for one person in the Roman Empire knows what's going to happen next. They're not worried about the position of power because it's all been dealt with already. This guy is ready to go. He's got the same powers. They're his personal powers. Everything should be fine.
It should be a fairly smooth transition. This Agrippa Postumus, Aggie P, isn't really a threat. A, he's a kid. B, he's in exile.
He's a cunt.
But, and C, he's not co-princeps. He doesn't have any power. But somebody apparently thought he was a threat because Aggie P was killed almost immediately after Augustus died and became a god.
And the other thing, the reason he's not a threat is because he had been disowned by Augustus. So not only does he not have any power, but Augustus, I don't know if you can undo an adoption, but I think Augustus did something like that. This guy is out on his own and in exile. So he should not be a threat.
According to the ancient historian Suetonius, writing probably 100 years later, early 2nd century, he says Agrippa was killed by centurion Gaius Sallustius Crispus, the great nephew and adopted son of the historian Sallust. When Crispus reported to Tiberius that his orders have been carried out, Tiberius threatened to bring the matter before the Senate, professing that he had given no such order.
Wow. So this guy just rocks up and goes, "My lord, I have done as you ask."
So who gave the order, Ray, is the question.
Right. Oh, a mystery. Oh, a dinner theater mystery. I love these.
The butler? You're probably saying the butler did it? So you got a few options here. One is that Tiberius gave the order, Crispo, go kill that snot kid who's in exile.
Right.
And then Crispo comes back and goes, "You beaut, I did it." And Tiberius is like, "What? You did what?
I am shocked.
How dare you, sir?"
I am shocked. I never gave such order. Yeah.
It's what I call the Trump defense. You tell your lawyer, Michael Cohen, "Hey, can you pay this porn star that I've been banging and watching Shark Week with $350,000 blood money to shut her up during the election?" And then it all comes out and you go, "A, I didn't know anything about it. B, what? You did what? You paid her money? Well, that was stupid. C, yeah, I knew all along, but it's not illegal, so what are you going to do about it?" And D, how dare he tell the truth about what I did, that sneaky bastard. Right.
You couldn't come up to me and whisper in my ear that it's done. You had to proudly proclaim it in front of everybody. Now this is something Tiberius is going to have to do with. So Tiberius is one option. I'm imagining Livia, his mother, who, from what we've been able to gather, really wanted one of her children to rule after Augustus. She might have, in her husband's slightly dead name, issued an order or made a wish. I mean, she is the wife of Augustus. I mean, how do you say no to her?
Yeah, and this is interesting, the whole Livia did it theory. It's not the first time we've seen this. Anytime anyone dies who's not in her direct bloodline, one of the theories is that she had them killed, like she's some sort of Lady Macbeth.
Right.
And yet there's really no evidence that she was this Machiavellian political player, Livia. Yeah. But, you know, certainly that's a possibility. But, you know, she and Augustus were married, 45 years. She seems to have lived a fairly simple lifestyle, as he did. I mean, they had a big house on top of the Palatine Hill, but, you know, they lived fairly modestly. She seems to have been a nice old lady, man. I mean, her ordering this kid to get bumped off, along with everyone else she supposedly has bumped off, just doesn't, I don't know, doesn't really work for me. It doesn't, she doesn't seem like that. It's not like she and Augustus were running around killing their enemies left, right, and center.
Right.
He, you know, I mean, okay, he had his moments of anger and he'd done things he regretted, I think, including sending his daughter into exile, mm-hmm. maybe. But he wouldn't back down. But they weren't bloodthirsty. He certainly wasn't a bloodthirsty tyrant, is my take on him anyway. And I don't think she was either.
Let me ask you this. If you were a centurion and she walks up to you and says, I want you to go and kill Agrippa. I mean, yes, she's a very important person. She was married to a very important person. But would you feel comfortable enough to do such a deed on her word alone? Wouldn't you ask for something either in writing or can I hear this from Tiberius? Can I hear this from someone else? I mean, I don't think that her walking up and whispering something to someone is going to make something like this happen, especially if you wanted to live a long time.
No, I think the theory regarding her is that she faked a letter from Augustus, probably signed it in his name and said, oh, look, this was his last desire that you go and kill his only living grandson.
Right.
What? No.
Yeah, it's a little...
Now there's also the theory, of course, that it might have been Augustus himself who gave the order from beyond the grave. That's certainly what at least one source claims. In his annals,
mm-hmm.
Tacitus, writing sort of late 1st century CE, so 75 or so years after the events. And if you don't know who Tacitus was, very important historian from the 1st century. He was a governor, a senator, a high-ranking political operative in the Roman Empire. He was also an historian, lived from 56 through to 120, and wrote a number of important works, the histories, the annals. He's also one of the earliest non-Christian writers who mentions Christianity.
Right.
So, you know, for those of you that are interested in the history, the early history of Christianity, you know, most of you will know I've got a film coming out. The first 20 minutes is nearly ready. I think it should be out next week. I'm looking forward to people seeing that. Anyway, he mentions them briefly in one of his letters. He's a fairly credible source. One of the theories with Tacitus is because of his senior position in the political structure, he had access to a lot of official historical documents mm-hmm. and that kind of stuff. So anyway, about this, he writes, the first crime of the new reign was the murder of Postumus Agrippa. Though he was surprised and unarmed, a centurion of the firmest resolution dispatched him with difficulty.
Ooh.
Tiberius gave no explanation of the matter to the Senate. He pretended that there were directions from his father ordering the tribune in charge of the prisoner not to delay the slaughter of Agrippa whenever he should himself have breathed his last. Beyond a doubt, Augustus had often complained of the young man's character and had thus succeeded in obtaining the sanction of a decree of the Senate for his banishment. But he never was hard-hearted enough to destroy any of his kinsfolk, nor was it credible that death was to be the sentence of the grandson in order that the stepson might feel secure. It was more probable that Tiberius and Livia, the one from fear, the other from a stepmother's enmity, hurried on the destruction of a youth whom they suspected and hated. When the centurion reported, according to military custom, that he had executed the command, Tiberius replied that he had not given the command and that the act must be justified to the Senate. Now, again, when he says they feared Agrippa, I mean, in what sense is he a potential threat? I mean, he's never had any military command.
Right.
He's never had any political career. He was known to have been massively disliked by Augustus because that's why he was banished.
Right.
He was in exile. I can't see him being a threat to either Tiberius or Livia. So I really don't get the whole story, man.
The most I could credit this would be if I wanted to, if I was someone else, if I was a senator and I saw an opportunity and I wanted to kill Tiberius or try to take over, the most you could do would be to use Agrippa. But like you said, he's completely unpopular. He was a real dick when he was younger. He rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. So that even wouldn't be very effective. But at least I would have a name that I could put before the people. But I think you're absolutely right. I don't think he is a threat in any way, shape, or form. But it doesn't really matter if he's a threat, if he is perceived by either Tiberius or Livia as a potential threat. I think that's all that matters. And going back to Tiberius for a second, it is possible, the way I see it, as soon as he gets a letter from Livia saying, come back, Augustus is very ill or deathly ill or whatever the exact term was, he could have maybe dispatched someone to Agrippa at that moment. So we don't know exactly when Agrippa was killed. We don't know exactly when the order was given. So there's a lot of gray area here, but this relatively young guy is not a threat to anyone besides his name, and even that's been tarnished by his own actions.
And I should point out a couple of things, particularly for new listeners. Number one, the reason he's called Posthumus Agrippa or Agrippa Posthumus is because he was born after his father Agrippa died. Right. And secondly, he's not really a kid. I mean, he's 26 at this stage. Augustus basically came into power when he was 18. So, he's not a kid. Like, he's old enough to get shit done. But he's been in exile for quite a few years at this stage. I think 7 CE. So 7 years he's been in exile. Why Tacitus is suggesting that Livia disliked him, we don't really know, except maybe it was something to do with his temperament. He was a little bit crazy, like his mother, we think. So she obviously had a bit of a screw loose, as did his sister, who was also in exile, Julia the Younger. So anyway, we've got another sister to deal with too that we'll get to down the track. But whatever reason, he's dead. Now, we mentioned in the last series that just before he died, one of the stories is that Augustus apparently sailed to the island of Planasia, where Agrippa Posthumus Agrippa was in exile, to visit him. Now, historians are divided as to whether or not this even happened, and if it did happen, why it would have happened. One of the theories is that it never happened. It was written later by people who were anti-Tiberius in order to make it look like Augustus had actually planned to reunite with Agrippa and bring him back to take over, but Tiberius had him killed to do that. So that may be, it may just be propaganda. But alternatively, maybe he did go just to see if the kid had calmed the fuck down, to see if he was a potential heir, if he could bring him back, or if he really needed to have him killed. You know, maybe he went there and went, yeah, you're fucking trouble, man. I gotta knife you as soon as I'm gone.
Now, let me ask you the two questions. One, does Augustus have an in him to leave a letter that says, as soon as I breathe my last, someone go dispatch this child? And I forgot the part of the second part of my question, but does he have it in him? And
Well, let's remember that when he sent Julia, his daughter, into exile, she was pregnant, and he gave orders that the baby, when it was born, should be left abandoned on a hilltop to die, which was, you know, Roman abortion. So he's not beyond terminating the life of a grandchild. But that said, as Tacitus points out, Augustus had never terminated any of his family members or offspring. He's not Michael Corleone bumping off Fredo here. You know, he even if he thinks you're a troublemaker, he just puts you in exile. I mean, keep him in exile. That was his theory. They can't do any harm. But getting back to this trip that he supposedly took, according to Tacitus, Augustus took only one person with him, his buddy Fabius Maximus, a.k.a. Fabulous to the Max. Fabulous! He just walked around saying that all the time. I'm fabulous. How are you, mate? Fabulous! They were like, we're going to call you Fabulous to the max, man. Tacitus writes about the visit to Agrippa. He writes, many tears were shed on both sides with expressions of affection, and that thus there was a hope of the young man being restored to the home of his grandfather. This, it was said, Maximus had divulged to his wife Marcia, she again to Livia. All was known to Caesar, and when Maximus soon afterwards died by a death some thought to be self-inflicted, there were heard at his funeral wailings from Marcia, in which she reproached herself for having been the cause of her husband's destruction.
Oh, damn.
Now, what this suggests to me is that what if Augustus, his last letter actually said, by the way, when I'm dead, bring back Aggie P.
Right.
All is good. He's sorted his shit out. He's going to take over, or he's going to share power with Tiberius or whatever. And the only living witness to that was Fabius Maximus. And he took, you know, two in the back of the head from Tiberius. Or what we like to call a Chicago suicide. You know? Yeah. Maybe. Well, maybe.
I don't know. I don't think as much as we went on about Augustus and all his laws about family and about honor and about the right sort of people getting married and having kids. And he definitely is a family guy. I mean, that just comes through. In some ways, when it comes to the state, he is not sentimental. So I could easily see him going, you know what? I don't, either Tiberius doesn't have the balls to do this, or I don't want him to be burdened with it. I want Agrippa, who, if he hasn't changed by now, his character hasn't changed by now, it's never going to change. And I just want him removed. Just a clean start, clean slate for everybody. Tiberius will be the last man standing in this sense. We'll get to Germanicus later. And I just want it to be easy. I could easily see Augustus doing that because he had done so many things before that were tough decisions for the good of the state.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives. This is MacDonald Carey, and these are the days of our lives.
I have a question.
I played that too early, but I was going to point.
Go ahead.
What?
Does he need to announce his name? Do we care who says it?
Fuck yes, with that voice.
Okay, sorry.
I am MacDonald Carey, and I have nuts the size of coconuts.
Anyway.
I was pointing out that Aggie P was Thibaut's stepson.
Right.
Because Thibaut was married to Aggie P's mother, the filthy whore Julia, for about 5 minutes.
Right.
And of course, Thibaut had been friendly, as far as we know, with Aggie P's father, the mighty Agrippa.
Right.
So, I don't know. It's all very messy, man. Yep. If he did do it, if Augustus did it, he's killing his grandson. If Aggie P did it, he's killing his stepson.
Right.
I don't know. It's all very messy.
This is where you quote me Cicero's phrase in Latin.
Qui bono? Yes. Yeah. Who benefits?
Yes.
Well, that's a good question too, because who does benefit? We'll see as we get into this. Tiberius didn't really want the job ever. He was like, no. Oh, fuck it. Do no. I have to?
Mom.
He.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll get into this.
Yeah.
So, look, somebody killing off rivals to the throne was certainly common in the years and the centuries to come. Yeah. And had been common practice in other places and other times. Alexander the Great supposedly had his rivals killed when he was taking over the throne from Big Daddy Phil. Romulus supposedly killed his own brother Remus. But this is kind of a new thing in Rome. Don't get me wrong, the late Republic had its share of violence between political rivals, but nothing was really officially hereditary. We don't hear stories of rivals killing off brothers or cousins or stepsons over matters of succession. So, you know, I think we have to look at this from it as something that happened in that era. Like if we get down to Caligula or Nero or some of the later emperors, yeah, no one's going to bat an eyelid at one of somebody killing off somebody else to protect themselves. But this is kind of an unusual thing. If it did, if he was killed for these political reasons,
right.
Very unusual thing for Rome at the time.
Yeah. And Agrippa is not the only one who is not long for this world at this very important moment in history.
I guess that's Ray signaling he wants me to wrap up the Aggie P bit. I think maybe it had something to do with Julia's exile.
Right.
Always. We are all about opinion on this show. Fuck. I listened to a history show the other day and talking about the Rwandan genocide. And this guy's going, look, I don't want to give an opinion on this. And I'm like, just give me a fucking opinion. I want to know what you think. You've studied it. Tell me what you think.
That's the whole point.
Don't not give me who the fuck are you, Harvard? Like you're not the New York Times. Give me an opinion.
Well, the point is, if you've studied something, then your opinion should have more weight than someone who hasn't studied something. So if this guy's read about Rwanda, like you said, tell me what you think. What's my opinion at the end of the day? I don't know. I'm 50% Augustus had it all set up because of it would just make things smoother, but I don't know. Now that I've said that, I'm thinking it's Tiberius, 60% Tiberius and 40% Augustus. I think Tiberius just benefits too much from this, even though this kid is not a threat. But it's those lingering doubts, it's those possibilities. This kid is still alive. He's got the name. He's got the bloodline. Do you really want to deal with that? Do you want that to come back and bite you in your ass? I don't know. Since Tiberius benefits, he should get the issue. He should be pointed out as the primary suspect. What say you?
Well, I don't know. I really don't. It doesn't make sense to me at all. And particularly as we start to see Tiberius's character at this stage later on. If this had happened 10 years later, when Tiberius had completely gone off the deep end, maybe. But at this point in time, while Germanicus is still around, Tiberius played a pretty safe and steady game, and this young guy was not really a threat. But I don't know. Maybe it had something to do with Livia. Maybe she did have the other potential heirs killed after all. Maybe she had something to do with Julia being in exile. Suetonius writes, Tiberius did not make the death of Augustus public until the young Agrippa had been disposed of.
Ooh.
The latter was slain by a tribune of the soldiers appointed to guard him, who received a letter in which he was bidden to do the deed. But it is not known whether Augustus left this letter when he died to remove a future source of discord, or whether Livia wrote it herself in the name of her husband, and in the latter case, whether it was with or without the connivance of Tiberius. Mm. At all events, when the tribune reported that he had done his bidding, Tiberius replied that he had given no such order and that the man must render an account to the Senate, apparently trying to avoid odium at the time, for later his silence consigned the matter to oblivion. Now, if Tiberius had been involved, why would you get the guy to stand up in front of the Senate and give an account? Well, the guy stands up and goes, well, you told me to. What? What? Who are you, Michael Cohen? What are you talking about?
Sir.
Like,
yeah.
How dare you, sir? And that doesn't sound like, so if you gave the order to this guy to kill Agrippa and then he came and said, I did it, then you'd have somebody kill that guy.
Right.
To shut him up. And then, of course, you need someone to kill the guy that killed him.
Messy.
And then
what about this? The guy who did the killing, what if he genuinely believed he was doing Tiberius's bidding? So, of course, he would come back and report it. So if that's the case, God, I feel like Sherlock Holmes. If that's the case, then maybe it was Livia, because this guy's thinking he's under the orders of Tiberius, who is either a really good actor or truly doesn't know what the hell just happened.
Or you take the kid and push him off a cliff and go, whoops, he fell off a cliff.
Murdered. He was...
Or you poison him. I mean, why do it so openly if you're trying to get rid of a rival and you don't want to take credit for it?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. The whole story is confusing.
I need a TARDIS. So bad.
But it's worth mentioning that Augustus's will did not mention Agrippa's existence.
That's right. That is right.
Yet, if he had expected Agrippa Postumus to be alive when he, Augustus, died, when the will was open, according to Roman law, because Agrippa Postumus was his only surviving male heir, descendant,
right,
he would have had to be expressly disinherited.
And he was not.
Which he wasn't.
Ooh.
Hmm.
So now the finger's pointing at Augustus again.
Yeah.
Because his will was done in April of 13, just, to, you know, I guess a little, whatever, more than a year before he died. So if he doesn't even mention this guy... And like you said, he had to be expressly disinherited. So maybe he's assuming this young kid isn't going to be around. And give me a reason why a 26-year-old wouldn't be around who was trapped on an island. Because he's got a sword in his gut. Or where he was banished to, wherever Agrippa was banished. I mean, if you're banished to an island and you've got no way to do practically anything and you're 26 or whatever years old, chances are you're still going to be alive. So... I think sword in the belly. I think Agrippa knew, or I think Augustus knew what was coming.
Yeah. So maybe he had issued standing orders, as Tiberius insisted, at least according to Tacitus, that Augustus had left standing orders that Agrippa was to be put to death as soon as he himself was dead.
I think the overall point that you're trying to make is this is one hell of a way to transition from one person in power to another. I mean, you've got this murder, you've got rumors, you've got different suspects. One of them is dead and now probably a god. You've got the wife of the leader he's now a god, so you can't touch the wife of a god. And then you've got Tiberius, who is currently in power. So the gossip mongering must have been very entertaining around this time.
Indeed. Now, Aggie P wasn't the only one to lose their life after Augustus died, as you were hinting at before.
Yeah.
His mother, Thibaut's ex-wife, Augustus's only biological child, Julia the filthy whore.
Well, not filthy.
Also.
But whore. Yeah. Yeah. Did she die of a...
Died.
Did she die of a broken heart?
Possibly, although Aggie P wasn't her only child to die. They'd all died apart from one of her daughters, or two of her daughters, I guess, her two daughters. Her other sons are dead.
Yeah.
She was still in exile after 16 years in the town of Rhegium in Calabria, down on the most southern tip of Italy, as far as you can go without falling into the ocean. After Augustus died, now for again new listeners who don't know what we're talking about, Augustus had passed very strict morality laws for the aristocracy in particular in Rome.
Right.
He was trying to make Rome great again. He was trying to get people to worship the gods, stay married, have lots of kids. Just stop partying like it's fucking Woodstock.
Right.
It was like enough of the drugs and the sex and the rock and roll. This is Rome.
Yeah.
We got to rebuild it. It was sort of devastated after a series of civil wars. And the story is that he found out Julia was basically banging guys left, right, and center, having wild orgies, banging people in the forum.
Wow.
She was just a wild, and she wasn't, she was a mother of like five kids at this stage, divorced, remarried to Tiberius. He was in exile though. He'd self-imposed exile. Mm-hmm. She was just fucking and drinking and injecting heroin in her eyeballs. She was living it up. And he said, right, fuck it. I have to set the standard with my own family. So he sent her into exile. And everyone said, oh, come on. She was a lot of fun. Bring her back. And he's like, nope. I will not. If I can't control my own family, how can I control Rome? So she'd been in exile for 16 years. He did move her from an island onto the mainland, but he kept her as far away from Rome as possible. Now, when Augustus died, Tiberius, her ex-husband, mm-hmm. and they hated each other, kept her under house arrest and deprived her from the allowance that Augustus had been paying her. I don't know what she could do with it, but maybe buy dildos or something, because she wasn't allowed to have any men visit her.
I know where to buy some.
That was one of Augustus's things too. Yeah. What do you think dildos were made of in ancient Rome? Like, if you had a lot of money, could you get a marble dildo? Could you get a sculptor to sculpt a nice marble dildo?
Not that I've given this a lot of thought, but if I had a lot of money, you get some young male stud to pose as a model. Then you bring in the sculptor, you bring in the slab of marble. He carves it out, and then you send everybody away. You wrap it up in something warm, and you go to town. I don't know. Again, I haven't given it a lot of thought, but if you got money, you could do anything.
I'm just Googling it, and you can buy marble dildos now on Etsy, man. Marble.
Where were we at when I took the picture of the rack of dildo bottle openers? Was that Athens?
Athens. God. Yeah. Yeah. Dildos everywhere in Athens. The Athens love, the Athenians love themselves a huge dildo.
Yeah.
Everywhere you went. Yeah. Dildos. Everywhere.
They were decorated. It was beautiful. It was a work of art.
Yeah. That's why they're the cornerstone of Western civilization. And it's all about, oh, here, tentacle dildos. I might buy my wife a tentacle marble dildo.
Honey, I'm tired tonight. Here you go. Knock yourself out. Not literally, but have a good time.
Wow. Wow, this is...
Are they expensive?
Disturbing. $82 Australian. Tentacle dildo, black and gold. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's kind of disturbing. Anyway, where was I? Dildos. Yeah.
Yeah. What's she going to do?
So anyway, what's his name?
Type.
Yeah, Thibaut took away her dildo allowance.
I know this is stretching it, but theoretically, couldn't she have saved it up?
She was. It was stretching her. Not she was stretching it. No. What?
Theoretically, couldn't she save up her allowance and use it to bribe? I know that's really reaching, and she's already been in exile for 16 years. But I think it just shows that he still, to this day, is angry with her and is trying to find some way to hurt her or to make her suffer.
And within a few months of Tiberius taking the reins of power, Julia the filthy whore either starved herself to death in grief, went on a hunger strike, or was starved to death on the orders of Tiberius. Either way, the sources all say she starved to death.
You bono.
Well, yeah, nobody bonoed from that, as far as I know. Maybe I don't know. It was revenge, I think. But again, he didn't have her run through with a sword like he supposedly did for Aggie P, her son. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, all I know is that he's suddenly in power and two people connected to him are dead. Either there's a Team Thibaut doing this for him, or someone who cares about him, wants him to benefit, or he's doing it. The point is somebody is doing something. Somebody is taking some action. They're running a sword or they're taking away food. Somebody is doing something. It's not an accident.
Well, and somebody who Tiberius did have run through with a sword, according to the ancient sources, was the other Tiberius, Julia's lover, Tiberius Sempronius Gracchus.
Oh, shit.
He'd also been in exile for 16 years. Now, it's bad enough that she's taking lovers, but to take a lover who's also called Tiberius when she was married to Tiberius,
yeah,
that's like, you know, if your wife was having an affair,
right?
And you said, what's the guy's name? And she goes, well, his name's Ray Harris. He's just a better Ray Harris than you.
2.0, new and improved. I mean, that would hurt. That would hurt.
Yeah. So Tacitus writes, soldiers were sent to slay him, Tiberius Sempronius Gracchus. They found him on a promontory expecting no good. On their arrival, he begged a brief interval in which to give by letter his last instructions to his wife, Alaria.
Right.
Then offered his neck to the executioners, dying with a courage not unworthy of the Sempronian name which his degenerate life had dishonored.
Are you one of those people, because I've been reading a lot about Japan with Pearl Harbor coming up, and the idea of dying bravely to make up for all of your sins or your, not sins as in Christian, but your weak moments, your failures, your whatever, to restore your reputation or the reputation of your family. I just find that fascinating, because it doesn't change anything. But I guess if everybody can say, oh, well, you know, he made a good end, I guess that's supposed to mean something.
Yeah, would that impress you?
Subscribe to that?
No, not at all.
Okay.
No.
I didn't think so.
Don't subscribe to that. I believe in hanging on as long as you can. Like if you're terminally ill and you're suffering and you're just a burden on everybody, fine. You know, euthanize your way out. That's fine.
Yeah, firecrackers.
But, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see the point of going out beyond that time. Like the longer you live, the longer you can repay your debts to society. You can do good works. Dying isn't any way to solve anything.
So
anyway,
just to be clear, because I want this clarified, he died under the orders of Tiberius, the new princeps, or about to be princeps.
He did.
Okay, just want to be clear.
He did.
All right.
He did. According to the sources, Tiberius had Julia locked up and starved. He had her lover, who'd been in exile for 16 years, killed. But questionable whether or not he had Aggie P. killed. But anyway, thus began the rule of Rome's first real emperor.
Right.
Not a great start, and it doesn't get any better, as we will see in the next couple of episodes. Right. It's not the smoothest, but to be fair, transitions are not normally smooth. Right. I mean, Augustus's early years certainly weren't smooth. We know when Alexander took over from Big Daddy Phil, that wasn't smooth.
No.
So transitions of power traditionally weren't smooth, and certainly they weren't with Tiberius. It's no reflection necessarily on Tiberius. Mm-hmm. People, as we'll see, particularly even the troops, even Rome's own armies, had been suffering relatively silently under the rule of Augustus, because they were like, well, there's no fucking, you can't do anything to Augustus. See, the man is impenetrable.
Right.
As soon as he was gone, they were like, right, now's our chance to get something done, to make some changes here. But as we'll see, that didn't go very smoothly. Well, I think that's where we're going to end the first episode of the Tiberius Caesar. We read a couple of reviews, as is our tradition.
Cool.
People get up and write a nice review on iTunes. We will give you a shout out and maybe send you a gift. We're going to read a bad one first because I like that. Haven't read one of these for a while. Stupid, juvenile, and silly, says Vakshat from the United States. I used to like Jay Harris in the World War II podcast.
Close.
I don't know why he decided to team up with this Aussie man-child. Jay has become a sidekick to a wannabe young, hep, America-hating, juvenile, sex-obsessed punk who is a self-obsessed ignoramus. The fact that he makes a living doing this means that even foul-mouthed imbeciles can succeed.
Okay, I agree with all of that, except for it's Ray.
he likes you so well, he doesn't know your name.
Maybe I should give him an
And by the way, juvenile...
Right.
Wannabe young hep, I'm nearly 50, but hey, if maybe 50 is the new 20, I'll take it. Somebody listens to it, they think I'm young, juvenile, sex obsessed, definitely. Yep. America hating, America truth-telling, maybe? Ignoramus. Wow, ignoramus. I've been called lots of things, but ignoramus is... Right. Well, that's true. Yeah. So thank you, Vakshat. That made my day. But apart from that, let's go to... I'm going to read two. This one's from... I'm going to read three because I'm feeling generous. First one's from Germany. Twilek D. Oh, Ray, give me back my notes, says Twilek D. Gives us 5 stars. If you've ever wondered why it is vitally important to have a stable of young men to come behind you, or why your Google searches all of a sudden recommend sites with dick tickling on them, you have come to the right place. Ray and Cam take you through the highs and lows of the Roman Empire during the reign of Augustus with in-depth knowledge and detailed accounts of ancient times while enjoying themselves like a bunch of 5-year-olds. I've ended the Ray and Cam-iverse with this series and have been hooked ever since. So strap yourself in and get ready for a wild ride throughout history while being bombarded by a barrage of dick jokes and limoncello-fueled giggling.
That's true.
Don't know. No reference to why he has to give him back his. You have to give him back his notes, but there you go. From Australia, NCJ1000 writes, "Are you not entertained? Let me be one of the first to congratulate Ray and Cam on 100 episodes of The Life of Augustus Caesar. Since well they have played their part, all clap your hands and from the stage dismiss them with applause. And while you are there, pass the green figs." I look forward very much to the life of Tiberius, and I'm sure that by now we must all agree that Ray and Cam are surely the GOAT. Nice. Very cleverly combining bits from Gladiator, Commodus, and bits of Augustus's last words and green figs. Very cleverly done, NCJ. And then lastly, Andy D. 2508 from the United Kingdom. It's a cracker. I just wanted to say this is excellent. I've learnt so much about Rome, the Caesars, and it made me go and visit Rome itself. I would highly recommend listening to Ray and Cam as they are a laugh a minute, detailed facts with funny stories plus plenty of lad jokes. Cam does push it as far as he possibly can, but I've got used to it over the years. I find myself shaking my head and smiling. I can't get enough of this podcast, and I find myself replaying episodes. If you want to learn about history, these are the guys to teach you. History, music, laughs, plus you really need to check out their other work. Once you start, you'll be hooked. Check it out. You won't be disappointed. Andy D.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Andy D, NCJ1000, and Twilek D. Send us an email. You work it out what our email address is with your address, and we will send you thank you gifts.
We really will.
Maybe a coffee mug with our new Life of the Caesars logo or our new Tiberius logo. We've got some new imagery, new logos. Check out the new website, lifeofcaesar.com, if you haven't. And we will be back next week with Tiberius number 2.